This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy 94.9.
Freshly dug Joycast.
Big news happening in the US at the moment is the trial of Proposition 8 in California. Now, just to give it a bit of background there, that was when gay marriage was struck down after being briefly legal there. But to give us the full details on this, we have live on the line now from Washington, D.C., our correspondent Harley Dennett. Good morning, Harley.
Good morning.
So what's happening with Proposition 8 then? Where are we at?
It would appear that homosexuality is on trial across the board, everything to do with it. Trial started 2 days ago, so we're now into our third day, and it would appear that both sides are arguing purely on the rationality of being able to bar something because it is gay, not because of any other particular reason, just on the basis of whether or not homosexuality is acceptable to the majority of people.
So what we've got here is that they're not actually getting down to arguing about whether it's legal to bar homosexuality or not. They haven't got to that point yet anyway. What they're arguing about is actually the nature of homosexuality.
Yeah, the history of homosexuality, whether or not it actually exists, has been raised.
Anybody want lessons, see me.
You might think that this is one of those only in America stories, but this is something that sort of almost has played out everywhere where they've debated whether or not laws should be repealed against homosexuality. And it just seems America's a little bit later than the rest of the world to be having this officially debated in a court. The proponents of Proposition 8 outlining a number of points that you could only really describe as avoiding the issue. they're trying to convince the judge that you can support Proposition 8, you can say that that gay marriage is wrong without it being about bigotry. And it seems though that they haven't really managed to make that case just yet. The judge has accepted all the evidence that they've tried to introduce. But he hasn't actually sort of revealed his hand just yet. The Proposition 8 supporters are using the same arguments they used during the original Californian ballot where it went to the voters. They're raising that it could be harmful for children and that they don't want their children to be taught about gay marriage. And the argument today from the opponents to Proposition 8, the people who want gay marriage to be legal in the state, is that teaching children doesn't harm them. The court has previously ruled that you can't ban something just because it's gay, and so instead they're trying to find some legal way of saying that this is about protecting something that's a tradition, not about being gay. But the focus is continually in every piece of argument whether or not this is about being gay. There's been a couple of previous cases that could point where this will go if it eventually reaches the Supreme Court. It looks like this will reach the Supreme Court because this first case has a system of where it must be heard again if either party appeals it when it goes to the Circuit Court, and then beyond that, the Supreme Court can decide whether or not it wants to continue.
Okay, now a lot of people are probably asking themselves why here in Australia should we be interested in whether a voter proposition that struck down gay marriage in California is allowed to stand or is knocked over and gay marriage proceeds. What has that got to do with Australia? How is that going to affect us?
Two reasons. The first one is simple, that America is a bellwether for all these issues. And when America started talking about gay marriage, so did Australia. The second reason is more of a legal one. Australia has traditionally been very cautious about international rulings on things from a legal perspective, but there is one case where Australia was quite but followed international law in such a way that helped Australian GLBT community. And that was the Toonan versus Australia, which struck down the sodomy ban in Tasmania.
Right.
Because it was based on the UN charters that we had signed.
Mm-hmm.
And what's curious about the federal case in the United States, this Prop 8 case, is that it is based upon the principle that all people deserve equal treatment under the law.
Right.
And that's very similar wording to the wording that's in those UN charters that the High Court upheld in Toonan versus Australia.
So basically what you're saying is if gay marriage gets up in the States, it makes it more likely it will get up in Australia too, eventually.
It could. It could lead to a court challenge in Australia based on the reasoning used in that argument. The reason we couldn't use any of them previously is because they were all at state level. They didn't use the same language that's in the UN charter that we signed on to. But this one does. So it's legally important, but only in an indirect sense. It could possibly lead to a trial in Australia.
Okay. I've just received a message here from the Supreme Court of the United States blog relating to this. The Supreme Court has blocked any television broadcast to the general public of the San Francisco federal court challenge to California's ban on same-sex marriage. The stay will remain in effect until the court rules on a coming appeal challenging the TV order. The ruling came about 40 minutes after an earlier temporary order blocking TV had technically expired. So that's just come through.
That doesn't surprise me at all. There's been a tremendous push to try and televise this case.
Yeah.
The judge initially ruled that he was going to put it up on YouTube. That was what he wanted to see happen because this was an important case as far as he was concerned, one of those groundbreaking cases. You can't read into that, but that necessarily meant that he thought that this case would pass. But he recognised that it was one of those cases where everybody wants to know. And in fact, the courtroom's been packed. They had a second room attached to it to fill up where they had a television set up so it could be broadcast into there. They tried to set it up so that people could go into any federal courtroom in the country and see a broadcast of it. That was blocked.
Yeah, and everyone's been tweeting and blogging from the courtroom as well. Been some very good sort of live blogging going on.
An incredible amount of coverage from the tweeting generation, if you like.
The Twitters.
The Twitters. So this has been getting a lot of second-hand coverage, but that first-hand stuff is really important for allowing people to understand the reasons how this decision, when it eventually comes out, was made, so that people can sort of accept it. Otherwise, it could turn into a Roe versus Wade and would end up in something that would be contested for years and years after.
Which, for people who don't know, is the case that legalized abortion in the US.
And is constantly debated every time there's a new judicial appointment.
Yeah.
No one accepted that decision. If that had been in front of the cameras, perhaps there might have been a bit more understanding behind it. But in this case, yes, people are doing whatever they can to get the information from inside the trial outside. But the Supreme Court has traditionally shied away from broadcast because it feared that would disrupt the respect and the dignity.
They seem to be rather pissy about this attempt to to broadcast this trial. I'm just reading their determination. It said, the broadcast in this case should be stayed because it appears the courts below us did not follow appropriate procedures set forth in federal law. Before changing their rules to allow such broadcasting, courts enforce the requirements of procedural regularity on others and must follow those requirements ourselves. Sound a bit cross, don't they?
It does. You have to recognise that decision was written by the conservatives on the court.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court is so politicised in America, which is one reason why I think that a lot of gay and lesbian activists in America are wary about taking this case to the Supreme Court. It's only got two steps to go to get there. It could happen. It could technically happen this year, although more likely next year.
Yeah.
And if it does, then any decision that comes out of that court will be binding for probably my lifetime. It's been very rare that the Supreme Court has made a decision about some significant cultural issue like this and overturned it. The yeah. one time it didn't was when it overturned a previous ruling that allowed sodomy laws just a few years ago when, yeah. when it released Lawrence versus Texas, which overturned the sodomy laws in Texas. And that took 20 years. If it rules on this one yeah. and it goes badly because it's a conservative court, you will not see gay marriage spread across the United States in my lifetime. But if it goes positively, then I think you could easily say that every Western country in the world will follow in pretty short step. Because
which is why this whole case is so important.
It is. Yeah. The Australian government could ignore the other countries that have done this, but it really can't ignore the United States.
Yes, they're not going to take their lead from Albania or wherever, but they might from the US. I take your point there. So this thing is obviously going to go running on for quite a while yet. Is it going to be a matter of weeks before it moves on to the next court, or what do we know?
No, this case will continue into next week, the hearings. You have to understand there are so many witnesses that are participating, not just gay and lesbian people, but expert witnesses on, well, as we heard today, the history of homosexuality. We've also got many of the legal cases, and they have to look at whether or not California's existing civil partnership schemes, which provide a reasonable level of equality, like we have in Australia, federally, that isn't quite marriage, whether or not that's enough and exactly where the gaps are and all those things. This could take a couple of weeks in just these hearings. A ruling itself could probably take another couple of months. And then we've got the circuit court, which will rehear it all over again, and that could take even longer.
The American courts, it's a... grinds very slowly, doesn't it? Harley, look, I know that there's other things you'd like to talk about today, but we're running a bit low on time here, so we're going to have to cut you short there. Just very briefly, you said you'd got some possible good news on Don't Ask, Don't Tell?
Yes, there'll be hearings on that later this month in the Senate. So the Pentagon's a bit busy fighting two wars and now sending troops over to and help over to Haiti, but they'll be sending some generals down to discuss why they want to keep Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which will be very interesting to hear.
Okay, we'll look out for that. Harley Dennett in Washington, thank you very much for your time this morning.
It's a pleasure, Doug.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.